What we're going to do tonight is we're going to start a new study on the character of David. As you think of the scriptures, and you think of different characters and different events,
I dare say that David would probably be near the top of the list as far as frequency and occurrence. And if you consider many of the things in the Bible, the significance of David is very, very important. What is it that we most often think of when we think of David? He was a man after God's own heart, was what I was thinking, but a warrior king, very good. Yes. His name means beloved. And you have to take and sit back and think a little bit about how God has worked and has chosen to work. Really, as we look at the life of David, it's going to take us all the way back to Abraham. And so I'd like us to begin by going to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12. Tonight we're going to look at the heritage of David. We're going to look at God at work behind the scenes in the raising up of this man named David. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 is the first place that the covenant with Abraham is mentioned. The covenant with Abraham is something that God has set up with Abraham, an unconditional covenant. Looking at verse 1 of chapter 12, Genesis. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now there what you have is a very clear directive or promise from God to Abram. And as you look at that, we know very well that much of that was not fulfilled during Abram's life. The significant phrase that we want to connect tonight to the life of David is there at the end of verse 3, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I guess also it might be important to make note that there is a land that I will show you, and David played a very key role in the land establishment of Israel, although it was not completed. And we also see he will make a great nation, and we know that under the reign of David, the nation of Israel was built up, and under Solomon, then it reached its peak. But ultimately, I want us to realize that it was through David that God accomplishes this blessing for all the families of the earth. That includes you and me. Have you ever considered that? That you are a part of the Abrahamic covenant. That God spoke to Abraham. He had your family in mind. What a thought that was, that is. Well, how does that link up with David? How does that play a significant role? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to go now to the book of Matthew. We're going to turn to several places tonight. And our ultimate goal tonight is not just to learn about David and and the heritage that is his, but ultimately to see and recognize that God has his hand in things, in life, in history, in the way things happen and work. God has ultimate designs and purposes. Although we might not always know exactly what they are, God's hand is behind them all. In Matthew, in chapter 1, I would like us to notice the significance of David here in this genealogy. Notice that we see David in verse 6, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Now we jump down to verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And I want you to notice that as Matthew is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he chose to make a significant point here. David is a key part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In fact, it is divided into three sections, and the life of David is one of those dividing sections, one of those significant pieces of history that are important for the Jewish people to keep in mind, as Matthew primarily seems to be writing to a Jewish audience. It is also, so with that in mind, with the Abrahamic covenant, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then we see David in the line of Jesus Christ, and we know what Jesus Christ has accomplished for the world. It is through Jesus Christ that the world is able to be blessed and to know the blessing of God. And so David is a very key link between what God told Abraham and what he accomplished through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac then had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob, he had 12 sons. I should be asking these young people all these questions. How many of you can name the 12 sons? Let's see if we can name the 12 sons of Jacob. Can we do that? Let's start with the young people, see if you can accomplish this. This is the Marrow and Grace and Eli. How about, can you name the 12 sons of Jacob? Or they're also known as what? The 12 tribes of Israel. Can you think of any? I hear you, Mrs. Ransom. Eli. Levi. Good. Levi. Ian.
No.
I mean, not Ian. Levi. All right, you guys can help him. Go ahead. Levi. Naphtali. Grace. Reuben. Judah, Benjamin, Zebulun, Joseph, you guys, this is going to be Gad, Simeon, Asher. It's two more. Issachar. What? There's one more. Grumpy? No, it is not Grumpy. I can't think of it right now off the top of my head either. I was going off the top of my head and I lost it, but 12 sons. They're not exactly the same. Thank you. I thought about that halfway through. Somebody said Joseph, and I was like waiting for Manasseh and Ephraim. But we stuck with it. All right. Did we think of the last one? No? Okay. All right. Nevertheless, Jacob's fourth son was Judah. Okay? So what we need to do is we're going to go to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. We're going to kind of do some marching through Genesis here to just get us up to speed with where David comes into the picture. But Genesis chapter 29, I want you to notice in verse 35, this is speaking of Leah. And Leah conceived again and bore a son, and she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah, and she left bearing. So Judah, the fourth son of Leah. Now, who is the chosen wife of Jacob? Rachel. But God chose to leave her barren for a while, and Leah became a very productive wife for Jacob. And Judah was her fourth son. Now, Judah, and what I'm doing here is I'm bringing you up through the line here. Abraham is connected to Judah. Now we got Judah. And Judah married a Canaanite woman. Is that a good thing? Not necessarily. So something you're going to see and identify here is that the line of David is not perfect. If this were something of man, and you were to design the line for the promised king, how would you design it? The greatest of pedigree, there would be perfection, right? It would just be right down the line. And so it's interesting to see how God chose to work through circumstances, and God chose to use people that were less than perfect. Judah marrying a Canaanite, you see that in Genesis chapter 38. They had three sons. The first son died, the second son died, and the first son left a wife named Tamar. Tamar was then promised to be married to Judah's third son, but it never happened. And so she got frustrated, and what did she do? Do you remember the story? She dressed up as a prostitute, a harlot, and Judah, the good man that he was, quote unquote, went into the harlot. And she conceived. This scripture says this is a one-time union. She conceived and she bore twins. She bore twins. So these are also Judah's sons. Two boys. This was the story of when the one stuck his hand out and they tied a ribbon around it, thinking that was the first one. But that's, I cannot imagine how that happened. So put the hand back in and the other one came out. I do not want to think about how that happened. But that was Perez and Zerah. So what God did was he chose to work through Perez. God chose to use this union with his daughter-in-law through the satisfaction of lust to bring forth a son named Perez. And Perez is in the line of David, subsequently then the line of Jesus Christ. We see that Judah is given a distinct blessing from his father. This is important in Genesis chapter 49. Go to Genesis chapter 49. In Genesis chapter 49, we'll pick this up in verse 8. Here, Jacob is blessing his sons. This is a practice in ancient Judaism where they, before they would die, they would bless their children and bless their sons. And now, remember, Judah is not the firstborn. And being the firstborn was a pretty significant thing. But you will see here the distinction that Judah is given. Look at verse 8. "Judah, you are he whom thy brethren shall praise. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies.
Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, you are gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his donkey's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. We forgot Dan. That's the one we forgot. Judah is given this distinct blessing. Notice that this blessing in this passage speaks of royalty, speaks of kingship, speaks of others bowing down to him. This is very distinctive because there were these 12 sons, and Judah is given this blessing of being the one in authority, the one that others will look up to, being the fourth son. Interesting that that is taking place. Now, has God at this point necessarily said that the Messiah will come from the tribe of Judah? Not yet, but you could maybe make a case that it's beginning to form, even from this time of the blessing of Judah. Well, Jacob dies, and at that time, all the nation of Israel is in the land of... When Jacob dies, they're in the land of what? Egypt, right? They're in the land of Egypt. So Jacob and all of Israel, they're in the land of Egypt, and they are there in slavery for some 400 years. But all throughout that time, their tribal distinctions, their names remain. And when the 10 plagues take place and Moses leads them out of Egypt, they come to Mount Sinai and the law is established. And as the law is established, we understand and we see how God designs the very camp of Israel and how they were to travel. And guess who was at the top or the beginning of the front of the procession? The tribe of Judah. Guess which tribe had the privileged position of being on the eastern side of the tabernacle? The tribe of Judah. Why is that the privilege? That's because the gate of the tabernacle faced the east. That was the place where Moses and Aaron was given to stay and reside. And therefore Judah and two other tribes, but that whole quadrant was named after Judah, if you look at a map of the camp of Israel. So you're beginning to see this idea of the tribe of Judah getting some special privileges. I want us to now go to the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, we meet another character or another person by the name of Nashon. Numbers chapter 1. Here you see Numbers chapter 1, verse 7, and this is the names of the men that were the leaders of their individual tribes. And look at the leader's name of the tribe of Judah: Nashon, the son of Amminadab. Why is that significant? Why is that something of interest? Well, let's keep in mind, at this time, when they are traveling in the wilderness, the tribe of Judah is quite large. There are many, many people. I believe at one point there was a count over 70,000 warriors aged 20 and above just in the tribe of Judah. All right, so with that in mind, there were many different families of the tribe of Judah. But notice which family, which man is named as the head of the tribe of Judah? Nahshon of the son of Abinadab. Now, why is that significant? Where do you think we see that name? In Matthew chapter 1. Look at it. In Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 4. And Aram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Now, why is that important? Because at this time in the traveling through the wilderness, many people belong to the tribe of Judah, but the leader of that tribe was Nahshon. And Nahshon is appearing in the very genealogy of David, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. If you're in the genealogy of David, you're in the genealogy of Christ. Now, keeping your finger in Matthew chapter 1, we see that Nahshon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot who? Now, where does that name appear? Children, Boaz. Where have you seen Boaz or heard of Boaz? The story of Ruth. Right? So are we starting to see some connections here? The story of Ruth now comes into the picture. Now, how does that work? Well, they traveled 40 years in the wilderness. They go into the promised land and conquer the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, only ones of that first generation that go in and conquer it. So here we see that Nahshon has a son named Salmon. And Salmon must have been a part of that conquering of the land of Israel, of the land of Canaan. But then, after Joshua died, the people began to walk away from the Lord, and enemies came in and started taking them over, and God brought judges, right? So we're in the book of Judges now. So the book of Judges speaks of this period of time of cycles where they live for God, and they have a judge, and then that judge dies, and then they go back and do what's right in their own eyes. And just that cycle over and over and over again. Well, the story of Ruth takes place during that time of the judges. And so Salmon has a son named Boaz. And you remember the story of Ruth? How Boaz was the kindred redeemer? How Ruth, she was a good Israelite from Bethlehem? Come on. No. She was a Moabite. No. Not a Moabite. Yeah, a Moabite. Now, is that fitting in with God's plan of not intermarrying? Not at all. You see, what happened was Naomi and her husband went, they left Bethlehem because of the famine. And they went to Moab. Boaz, I believe he must have stayed. And they left, and in Moab, Elimelech died. But the two sons, they married, Ruth and Orpah. But then the two sons died. So then it was left Ruth and Orpah, Naomi. And so Naomi said, you girls go back to your families. I'm going back to Bethlehem. But Ruth said, no, I will stay with you. Your people are my people and your God is my God. And so Ruth comes back to Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, it is arranged that the process of the kinsman redeemer, where the closest relative of the man who died takes the woman, the widow, and raises up children. And Ruth is married to Boaz. And so we see here that Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And there are very few women mentioned in the genealogies of Jesus Christ, not because God's against women, but because it was through the men that the Jewish people focused their attentions on in genealogies. But you know what? When you see women mentioned, you pay attention. And here we see Ruth, a Moabite. A Moabite. Again, we see this quote-unquote flaw in the perfect line of Christ. That's almost blasphemous even to say that, because it is his line. It's exactly how God wanted it to be. And listen, folks, get it out of your minds that you have the design of God and you know how it should be. God has his ways, and it will always be right. So they, Boaz and Ruth, they have Obed. And Obed has Jesse. And so therefore, Jesse is the father of David. So we've kind of run through a history, and we have seen the hand of God at work in bringing up David. David is of what tribe? He's of the tribe of Judah. David, his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather and great-grandmother are all from what small little village? Bethlehem. Small little village located within the boundaries of the tribal lands of Judah. Bethlehem. And it is from that small village that this young shepherd boy is plucked from this no-name occupation and raised to be a king. Only accomplished by the hand and work of God. Not the designs of men. Indeed, what did the good old prophet Samuel say when he saw the older brother? Oh, surely, and we'll look at this, well, surely this must be the one. And God said, no. I don't look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. If I were to entitle this series, I would call it David, a man after God's heart. And I believe what we're going to see here as we wrap this up tonight, we see the very heritage of David, and we see the hand of God all the way through it. Indeed, you know about David, don't you? The people of Israel, the people of Judah. In the New Testament, the name of David is mentioned at least 54 times. David is referenced over and over again. David is the primary writer, writing some 70 to 75 Psalms. As I thought about this, I thought about David, and I thought, you know, he is just a normal person. He had no, you know, as he was born, as his father gave birth, or his mother gave birth to him, and they were raising up this young boy, they didn't have all these designs for him to become a king. But God did. God did, and you see it working out all throughout history. The Abrahamic covenant says, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we come to Judah. And we come to Nahshon. And then we come to David. And from David, a promise is given, another covenant is made. And we'll talk more about all of those things in weeks to come. What are you to learn? How can this be a blessing to you and to your life? Well, God is at work in you. And you may look back in your heritage. You may look back even in your lifetime. And you might say, it is not how I would have designed it. It is not perfect in the eyes of people, even maybe of the world. But you know, I have to believe that it is the way God wanted it to be, and it is what God will use to help me bring him glory and to be a blessing to others. Also understand, dear ones, that all the world is blessed through Jesus Christ. Who are you? You're the body of Christ. Are you being a blessing? Are you being a part of that? As you are the hands and feet of Christ, as you walk in this world today, you have the opportunity to be that blessing, that other people might know the blessing of God and their family and subsequent generations will know the blessings of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this time, for this study. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at this man, David. Lord, may we never be distracted by the man and we miss your hand. Lord, help us. Help us to grow in our understanding of Jesus Christ and in the value of the gospel. We thank you for giving us and recording for us the life of David. And Lord, there are many things that we will learn. Teach us. And now, God, I ask that you would strengthen your people for the week ahead. Be a blessing in their lives, Lord, as I know you desire to be. And Lord, may you use them to be a blessing in the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen.